tired, I'm worn. My heart is heavy from the work it takes to keep on breathing. I've made mistakes. I've let my hope fail. My soul feels crushed by the weight of this world. And I know that you can give me rest. So I cry out with all that I have left.
Catches up.
were made to be courageous. We were made to lead the way. We could be the generation that finally breaks the chains. We were made to be courageous. On the front lines, standing unafraid. But now we're watchers on the sidelines while our families slip away. Where are you, men of courage? You were made for so much more. Let the pounding of our hearts cry, we will serve the Lord. We were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. The only way we'll ever stand is on our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous, Lord, make us courageous. This is our resolution, our answer to the call. We will love our wives and children. We refuse to let them fall. We will reignite the passion that we bury deep inside. May the watchers become warriors. Let the men of God arise. For we were made to be courageous, and we're taking back the fight. We were made to be courageous, and it starts with us tonight. On our knees with lifted hands. Make us courageous, Lord, make us courageous.
Everyone, you are listening to The Hope Show today, and I am your host, Beverly. I hope each and every one of you have had a wonderful time bringing in the new year. I hope that 2014 will be a great year for all of you, a new beginning. I pray this year will bring you good health, prosperity, an abundance of blessings, joy, peace, and good cheer. I pray that you will meet your goals and ambitions. I pray that if anyone out there is having relationship problems, that you'll be able to overcome them and get back on track this year. If there is someone in your life that needs forgiveness, perhaps even you, I pray a blessing over that as well. I pray for healing over each of you, physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual. I wish the best for each and every one of you. I think this is going to be a big year of changes, big changes. I feel something big is on the horizon for all of you, and for myself, too. I don't know what that is for sure, but I have an overwhelming feeling of excitement coming into 2014. I feel as if I have been given a promise for something. Maybe some of you out there in the listening audience can relate to that gut feeling that I have. On January 1st, 2014, early in the morning, I was contemplating the new year, reflecting on the old year, and I opened my Bible studies to read, and the very first thing that popped out at me was this verse from Isaiah 43:19. Watch for the new thing I am going to do. It is happening already. You can see it now. I will make a road through the wilderness and give you streams of water there. I feel like God gave me that message. It jumped off the page at me. It definitely got my attention. Today I'm going to be talking about resolutions, but not just any resolutions. Not just your typical superficial resolutions that some of us make, and then within 2 weeks they have fallen by the side of the road, never to be recovered. Today I want to talk to you about a more profound resolution. Generally, when we think of New Year's resolutions, we think of superficial things such as promising ourselves to do an act of self-improvement, such as losing weight or stopping smoking. We also promise ourselves that we will do more little nice things for people, such as opening doors for people and such. In my research, I found that the 10 most common New Year's resolutions are this. 1. Spend more time with family and friends. We vow to appreciate loved ones more in the upcoming year or spend more time catching up with our friends. Number 2. We plan to make time for the gym and fitness into our lives. Number 3, we vow to tame the bulge we have begun to see and feel around our waist. This, is, by the way, is the number 1 most popular New Year's resolution. Did you know that over 66% of adult Americans are overweight? The number 4th most common thing is to quit smoking. People start out the new year with every good intention of stamping out this habit in our life for such reasons as better health or to save money. Number 5, we say, this will be the year I'm going to slow down and enjoy life more. Our lifestyles have become so hectic, so stressful. Is it any wonder that we strive to slow down? Number 6, perhaps some of you out there vow to quit drinking this year. Or number 7, get out of debt. Or number 8, learn something new. Perhaps this means a career change or going back to college or studying something new. Number 9, a lot of people vow to help others more throughout the new year. These acts of volunteering can take many forms, such as helping out at the local library, mentoring a child, helping to build a house, volunteer at the local food pantries or Salvation Army stores. If time is limited, maybe you can make donations for used furniture, clothing, food, or other household items. And number 10, many people also vow that this will be the year they become more organized. I researched the statistics on this New Year's resolutions, and here's what I found. 45% of people usually make New Year's resolutions. 38% of people never make New Year's resolutions. 8% of people are actually successful in meeting the goal of their resolutions. 49% have infrequent success. And 24% fail every time. These are some staggering numbers, to be sure. But it doesn't stop there. 47% of resolutions are self-improvement or educational related. 30% are weight related. 34% are financial related. And 31% are relationship related. So factoring in these additional percentages, it is safe to say that nearly all people in this world would like to improve themselves in some way, and for the most part it seems that the biggest complaints are to reduce their weight, become more financially stable, better their relationships, and better their education. Those are very worthy resolutions, very important indeed. But here's the sad part. 75%, folks, 75% of resolutions only last to see the first week. 71% last past 2 weeks. 64% only last for 1 month. 46% only last 6 months. And the success rate goes rapidly downhill from there. So why do we make New Year's resolutions? We want to make improvements in our life in the coming year. We want improvement for ourselves. Why do they so oftentimes fail then? People think the start of a new year is the perfect time to turn a new page in their life, begin a new chapter. Usually, the first 2 weeks or maybe a month, things are going along beautifully. But by February, people begin to backslide, and by the end of the year, people are generally back where they started and sometimes even in a worse predicament than in the beginning. People make resolutions as a way to help motivate themselves. The problem is that a whole lot of people aren't really, truly ready to change their habits, particularly bad habits such as eating unhealthy things or quitting smoking. This is where the high fail rate comes in. Some resolutions we make give us false hope. We have to be realistic with ourselves, and we have to align the external with the internal view of ourselves. We have to believe positive things. Where your mind goes, your body will surely follow. I am always saying that on my shows. Where your mind goes, your body will surely follow. If you don't truly believe, then you're giving yourself false hope, and you're setting yourself up for fail. Sometimes people become delusional about their resolutions that they've set for themselves. Sometimes people think that if they lose weight or they reduce debt, if they exercise more, then their entire life will change. And when it doesn't, they become discouraged and they give up, going back to their old ways. When people make resolutions, essentially, that means they want to change a behavior. And in order for that to work, you have to change the way you think. You must rewire your brain. In my research, I have found some tips that might help you make your resolutions work this year. Number one, focus on one resolution. One, pick one thing that you want to improve in your life, not many. Number two, set realistic and very specific goals. For example, to say I want to lose weight, that is not specific enough. Choose a desired weight loss amount and a specific time to achieve it, such as, I'm going to lose 10 pounds in 90 days. That's realistic. Number three, don't wait until the very last minute of the year to make your resolution. Make it a year-long process every day. Number four, take small steps. Many people quit because they have unrealistic goals. They try to do too much all at once, and then they get burnt out and discouraged. Number five, have an accountability buddy. Have someone there to help you, encourage you, keep you on track, keep you motivated. Number six, celebrate each success between milestones, no matter how big or how small. Reward yourself. for any change and rejoice in that. Number 7, focus on your thinking. Focus on new behaviors. Focus on rewiring your brain. Number 8, focus on the here and now. What is the one thing that you can do today, right now, toward your goal? And number 9, be mindful. Become physically, mentally, and emotionally aware. Become mentally, physically, and emotionally aware of your inner state of mind and the external events that are happening around you moment to moment in your life. And finally, don't take yourself too seriously. We all make mistakes. Have fun and learn to laugh at yourself when you make those mistakes along the way. But don't let yourself slip backward and away from your goal. Don't be too hard on yourself. One little mistake isn't the end of the world. Your mission has not failed because of one setback. Your mission fails when you stop trying. Decide that with each mistake, you will get right back up. Excuse me. Decide that you're going to get right back up and dust yourself off and start again. I lost my train of thought for a moment. I was searching for a song. It's not what you've done, but what you will do from this moment on. For example, I have decided many times myself to lose weight. And when I truly, truly make up my mind, and I'm truly ready for the success, then I have success. And I lose the weight. But if one day I was craving chocolate, as I do much of the time, and I ate too much chocolate, and I got it in my mind that the whole idea of losing weight was a bad idea because I just failed by eating that chocolate. If I had that mindset, then I would fail. But if I ate all that chocolate and I thought, okay, that was a bad choice, but I can still do this. There is always, from this moment on, to make a better choice. One mishap isn't going to make me lose sight of my goal. That would be the right way to look at it. And the chances of my success would be far greater. I'm going to go ahead and take a short break here and play you a couple of songs. Normally I have these songs already highlighted so that I don't have to search through it, but I was visiting with my hubby in the background as the intro songs was playing, and I didn't do that. So give me just a second here to find my songs. Here we go, hon.
Have reached down and wiped our tears away, stepped in and saved the day. But once again I say amen, and it's still raining. But as the thunder rolls, I barely hear you whisper through the rain, I'm with you. Mercy falls, I'll raise my hands and praise the God who gives and takes away. And I'll praise you in this storm, and I will lift my hands, for you are who you are, no matter where I am. And every tear I cry, you hold in your hand. Left my side, though my heart is torn. I will praise you in this storm.
to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth.
Climb out of this boat and then onto the crashing waves, to step out of my comfort zone into the realm of the unknown, where Jesus is and he's holding out his hand. But the waves are calling out my name and they laugh at me, reminding me of all the times I tried before and failed. Waves, they keep on telling me time and time again, boy, you never win, you never win. But the voice of truth tells me a different story. The voice of truth says do not be afraid. And the voice of truth says this is for my glory.
Truth tells me a different story. The Lord.
afraid.
And the voice of truth says this is for my glory. Out of all the voices calling out to me, I will choose to listen and believe. I will choose to listen and believe the voice of truth. Listen and believe. I will listen and believe the voice of truth. I will listen and believe, 'cause Jesus, you are the voice of truth. And I will listen to you.
Everyone, I hope you enjoyed the tunes I just played, and I hope you're enjoying today's message so far. I am so happy that all of you can join me with today's message. What an honor it is for me to be a part of your Saturday. And I know that I've said that many times on my show, But I just want to keep reminding all of you of what an honor it is for me to be a part of your Saturday. Wherever you are, whatever you're doing at this very moment, besides listening to me, it's an honor for me to be a part of your Saturday. If you're just tuning in to today's message, the message is about New Year's resolutions. I'm not talking about just the superficial resolutions that most people think of. I'm going to be talking in this next segment about a more profound New Year's resolution. I want to read a couple of things that I found while I was researching for this week's message. I believe that they tie into today's message. I want to say right now, before I read these though, that I am not trying to force my beliefs on anyone else. I have Christian and non-Christian listeners, and I respect each and every one of you. As I always say on my show, there is room for everyone on my show, no matter what race, a place where each of you can come each Saturday to be filled up with love, encouragement, hope, understanding, empathy, compassion, kindness, caring, a safe haven, a refuge from the craziness of this world. It is my desire to be a friend to you, wherever you are in this world, reaching out to you far and near to give these things to you. Here is the first thing I want to read, and it's written by a fellow named Bach. I'm not sure if I pronounced that correctly, but God knows each winding way I take, and every sorrow, pain, and ache. His children and he will not forsake. He knows, he says. They don't live your life. Other friends and family members may try to give you quote-unquote good advice. Some with the best of intentions, and there again, maybe some do not have your best intentions at heart. Don't listen to them either. They don't live your life. Do you feel as if you spend your time pretending? Pretending your marriage is great, pretending that your life is perfect, pretending that something didn't hurt you, pretending that what people say doesn't bother you, pretending you're happy, pretending...
Darling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. I am yours. Who am I that the eyes that see my sin would look on me with love and watch me rise again? Who am I that the voice that calmed the sea would call out through the rain and calm the storm in me? Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling, and you told me who I am. I am yours. Not because of who I am, but because of what you've done. Not because of what I've done, but because of who you are. I am a flower quickly fading, here today and gone tomorrow. A wave tossed in the ocean, a vapor in the wind. Still you hear me when I'm calling. Lord, you catch me when I'm falling. You told me who I am.
yesterday surround me. I yearn for peace and rest. I don't want to end up where you found me. And it echoes in my mind, keeps me awake tonight. I know you've cast my sin as far as the east is from the west. And I stand before you now as though I've never sinned. But today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far the east is from the west? 'Cause I can't bear to see the man I've been rising up in me again. In the arms of your mercy I find rest. 'Cause you know just how far the east is from the west, from one scarred hand to the other. Reminding of my sin, and time again, your truth is drowned out by the storm I'm in. Today I feel like I'm just one mistake away from you leaving me this way. Jesus, can you show me just how far?
To all my dear and faithful listeners, I am so happy that you have joined me today. We're talking about some good stuff today. If you are just tuning in, today's message is about New Year's resolutions, but not just any old resolutions, not just the typical ones that you think about, like I'm going to stop smoking or I'm going to lose weight. No, that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking about challenging yourself to make some very profound New Year's resolutions. If you have missed the first half of the show, after the show is aired, the podcast will be uploaded to www.shazizradio.com, and you can just find me there by clicking on Hope by Beverly under the hosts, and just click on that, and it'll take you right to my page, and you can find this message along with some of my other previous messages that you can listen to at your convenience or share with your friends. But before I go any further in my show today, I want to say something first. It seems that Shazoo's radio is growing. There are a lot of networks out there broadcasting and rebroadcasting our shows. The list of networks seems to grow every day. Shazoo and I want to thank every one of you for joining with us to spread the messages that we have to share with the world. Thank you for choosing us for your own networks and having so much confidence in our work. I want to give a big, big shout-out thank you to Awake Radio and No Borders Radio. They are probably our biggest supporters, and we love you guys so much. You guys have such a vast listening audience, but I want to thank each and every one of you. There are just too many of you now to mention every network, but I assure you that you are no less important to us. So thanks again for having us on your networks. And last but certainly not least, I want to thank all my listeners for being a part of my shows every Saturday. You guys are just awesome. There would not be a Hope Show without my true and faithful, loving listeners. So with all that said, I'll start back in with today's message about New Year's resolutions. We've been talking about New Year's resolutions, what they are, why we make them, the percentages. I can't even say the word today. I'm sorry. Anyway, the percentages of success and fail rate. What are the most common resolutions made, and having the right attitude and the mindset when we make them so that we will not set ourselves up for failure? I've been talking about not putting too much pressure on yourself or too many tasks at one time, but to find that one thing that takes priority in our life and make that your priority, your resolution for this year to work on. As I've been talking about it, have you discovered what your one thing is? Did you already know? Most of us probably already do have an idea of what that one thing is that we've been putting off, or, you know, haven't tended to as much as we should. Folks, procrastination isn't going to get the job done. And while you keep putting it off, depending upon the circumstances, it may get worse or even harder to achieve later. An example of this would be a failing relationship. Don't wait. Don't wait on someone else to make that first move. Don't think it will go away on its own. Stop pretending it isn't happening. Keep waiting, and one day it may be too late. For some of us, that one thing may be that we need to declutter our lives. Give ourselves some more breathing room. Do you have a closet that looks like an avalanche waiting to happen? Are you afraid to go too close because you don't know what might jump out at you? Have you lost something that you can't seem to find and you think your closet may have sucked it up into the abyss? How about the back seat of your car? Is there any room back there for passengers or when someone gets in, or do you have to shuffle things around to accommodate an extra body? Sometimes that is what our mind looks like. Sometimes that is how we live our lives. Our lives are an unorganized mess. Maybe your one thing is that you need to get organized this year. Clean out the closet, clean out the car, clean out your mind, get rid of some of that stuff that is no longer of any use. Maybe you will find something you lost. Some of us need to reprioritize, cut back, slow down. Is there any space between you and your current pace? Do you have a margin for error? If your life is crazy busy and is a cluttered schedule, you're taking on too many things at one time. Chances are very high that you do not have any margin for error. We want the best for ourselves, for our kids, our family. We rush, rush, rush. We work harder because we want something better for our career. As a family, you may find the husband in one vehicle with his son, driving him to football practice, and then after that there's karate classes, while the wife is frantically trying to drive Susie to gymnastics class over on 12th Street at 5 o'clock, while little Kate has to be at school for piano lessons at 5:15. Everybody's eating fast food on the go to get the children where they need to be on time, and this is after two parents have been at work all day long, and the three children have been in school all day long. There's homework to be done in between all that chaos, housework, bath time, etc. Maybe you guys can relate to that right now. Now let me ask you this. Where does that put family time? Where does family time fit into that kind of a schedule? Parents want their children to be involved in all the activities they are interested in, and yet sometimes the parents just want their children to be involved with these things because the parents think it would be a good idea for the children. And the children really wish they didn't even have to go. They aren't even interested in what they're doing. They would rather be home with the family or out playing with their friends. We invest all these hours in whatever, getting ahead in our career, making more money to save up and get a bigger and better house or car, trying to work a full-time job while going to college too, playing taxi to our children 3 and 5 times a week so that they can be involved in as many things as possible. And for what? For what? Everyone has their limits, their breaking point. When you invest that kind of time on things other than your family is what suffers. Is achieving all that worth the high cost of a family or a relationship falling apart? When we finally do notice that there's a problem, many times it's already too late to fix it. We need to take a long, hard, close look at our priorities, how we spend our days and nights, and use the time we have wisely. Folks, once that time is gone, you can't get it back. One day, you look at your children, they're an infant. Next time you look at them, they're starting preschool. The next time you look at them, they're starting junior high. And before you know it, you turn around, they've graduated, they're going off to college, they're getting married, they're having children of their own, and it just feels like yesterday when you were holding them in your arms. Once the time is gone, you can't get it back. We need to invest more hours in our family, our relationships, our marriages. Don't lose control of what really matters to us. Always pushing the limits of your life, living on the edge. One day, your world might just come crashing down around you. Your health may fail from the stress. The family may fail. Our lives were not designed to be lived on the edge, pushing our limits day after day, year after year. We were designed to enjoy this life and have peace. When we live our life on the edge all the time, we physically, mentally, emotionally, and spiritually burn out. Stress levels max out. Our relationships and finances are a mess. And suddenly, life isn't any fun anymore. Our focus narrows. Our margin for error narrows. We become too focused on whatever is driving us. And before you know it, we're neglecting other things. Relationships suffer. We lose our peace and joy. But what is really going on here? What is really going on here? If this is how our life looks, if this is you, what is really going on here? Deep down in our core. It could be many things. Part of the problem is a lack of self-discipline. Do you find yourself always running late everywhere you go? Is there a good reason for that? Or, if you were to be honest with yourself, is it because you've procrastinated on getting ready and getting out the door? Did you wait too long to start getting ready? Did you find a list of other things to do in between getting ready and leaving? Did you dawdle when you shouldn't have? I'm guilty too. I do all of these things. I suffer from a lack of self-discipline sometimes as well. But generally, there is some other underlying issue. What drives us? What drives you? Think about that for a moment. Maybe, deep down inside, We fear something. I know that sounds like crazy talk, but I promise you I'm leading up to something with that. Maybe deep down inside we fear something. Does that sound crazy? Maybe not. Think about what I just said for a moment. What keeps you on this crazy roller coaster that you call your life? What keeps driving you, pushing you? Work harder, work faster, can't slow down. Fellow brothers and sisters, I've been there. I know right where you are at. Perhaps I know a little also about why you are racing through life at light speed. Tell me, are you enjoying yourself? Really, are you enjoying yourself? When is the last time you took a vacation? Or took a day off work for that matter? When was the last time that you had a date night with your spouse? When was the last time you had real one-on-one time with each of your children individually, if you have more than one? And I'm not talking about that ride from point A to point B, that 15 minutes. I'm talking about when did you plan an afternoon to do something special with them, their choice? When was the last time you took a few hours or even a day for just yourself? Wiped your schedule clean for the day and just did what you wanted to do. Let me ask you, what are you waiting for? What are you afraid of? You're not getting any younger. I have been in this situation before. I used to feel that I had to give my daughter the best of everything. I used to feel that I had to drive myself harder and harder to climb the corporate ladder so I could make more money, so I could buy us nicer and bigger things. I found myself trying to keep up with the Joneses. Once, a very long time ago. It seems like another life now. Someone else's life. But it was mine. Years ago. But that was before the good Lord put me in my rightful place. Before I was taught a very much needed, valuable lesson. Did I like the way I learned that lesson? Absolutely not. And I wouldn't wish it upon anyone, not even my worst enemy. But that point was made loud and clear. And now, years later, when I look upon the old life that I had, I realize what was driving me at that time. It was fear, mixed in with greed and selfishness. I was afraid that if I didn't keep up the pace I was going, that something would go wrong. I was afraid that Kara or myself would miss out on something. I was afraid that we would fall behind on my goals and ambitions, fall behind on the image in my head of what our perfect life would look like. I was afraid that I would fall behind schedule on that internal clock I made for myself, that tick-tocked at me daily, reminding me that I wanted to achieve this or that by this time or that date. I was afraid that I would fail and fall behind on my own status quo, that I would be a big disappointment or failure. I feared that I wouldn't matter to anyone anymore. I feared what other people would think if I didn't keep up the life I was living. But one day, it did all come crashing down around me. The very things that I feared most did happen. But out of the rubble and ashes of my own life came a new and improved me. I found out some cold, hard truths about life and about myself. I learned that not all things are as they appear to be. I learned who real friends are. I learned what and who was really important and what and who really mattered. I learned you can live on a whole lot less than you think you can. I learned that you might not always have what you want, but God will provide you with what you need. I also learned it's not all about me, and it's not all about you. It's not in our timing, but in God's timing. I learned that the sky wasn't going to fall when I was unable to keep up the pace and the lifestyle as before. So I want to ask you right now, what do you think will happen if things don't get done? Again, I'm not trying to push my beliefs on anyone, but God says, trust me. What wouldn't happen if you didn't get everything done in a day's time? Or what would happen if you didn't get everything done in a day's time? Let me tell you what I learned. Nothing. Nothing is going to happen if you don't get something done today. God will take care of it. And there is always tomorrow if today it didn't get finished. Whatever is driving you so hard isn't going anywhere. I'm not suggesting putting off mending relationships until tomorrow, but I'm saying your mile-long chore list can wait another day. I used to drive myself crazy back in my 20s and 30s. I was a list person, and I still am to a certain degree, but nothing like I used to be. When I was in my 20s and 30s, I would start out with a notebook-sized piece of paper, and I would write down a whole paper's worth of lists of things that I had to get done. And I would jump out of bed when my feet hit the floor running, and I would get up, get Kara dressed, get her off to school, get off to work, do my very best all day long, drive, 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 rush, 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 get home, get the meals done, drive her to her activities that she was in, come home, play with her, help her with her homework, get started on that mile-long list that I had to get done before bedtime, and get up and do it all again in the morning. Those were some crazy, crazy times in my life. I don't know how I kept going. I don't know how I did it. But I can guarantee you that it probably plays a big part in why I feel so much older today. Because I used up my 80 years that God allotted me in 40 on racing around like a crazy person trying to accomplish everything that I thought I had to accomplish. Maybe you need breathing room in your finances. Cut back on spending so that you can save a little. I know that's easier said than done too, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. Looking at your finances, is there anywhere that you can cut back on something to save? Perhaps cut back on eating out one night. Perhaps, I don't know, lose the gym membership and go for a walk instead outside. I don't know. Maybe you need breathing room in your busy schedule to spend time with your husband, your wife, or your children, or your friends. What can you change in your schedule to make that happen? Maybe you're a Christian believer and you need more breathing room to spend time with God. How can you shift your schedule to accommodate more time for that? Maybe you just need more time in the day, period. Don't be afraid to ask for help. Don't be afraid to delegate tasks. Don't fall into that same trap that I did, thinking you have to be Superman or Superwoman. People aren't going to think any less of you for asking for a little help once in a while. Maybe you need some breathing room in your schedule to clean house. Again, Don't be afraid to ask for help or let something else go so that you can catch up on homework or housework. Maybe you need more breathing room to do things you enjoy or to do more with your church, etc. Folks, it's all about priority. If you make certain things a priority, you'll find a way. Everyone needs time to rest, time to breathe, space to regroup. Breathe. Slow down. Perhaps you should seriously consider making one day a week a day of rest or spending time with family, maybe a Saturday or a Sunday. I know, that's not always easy to do either. But ask yourself, how important is it to you? Can't you find a way? If not one day each week, then perhaps twice a month? Life is all about compromise, give and take. Can you trust God with that gap? Take a leap of faith. Go out on a limb and see what happens. You might just be pleasantly surprised. I'm going to go ahead and take another short break, and when we come back, I'm going to continue with today's message.
Came, stole my mind, wrapped my soul in shame. Now I live among the dead, fighting voices in my head, hoping someone hears me crying in the night and carries me away. Set me free. Crying in the rain, all alone with my demons I am. Who is this man that comes my way? The dark ones shriek, they scream his name. Is this the one they say will set the captive free? Set me free.
is running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction. She is trying, but the canyon's ever widening in the depths of her cold heart. So she sets out on another misadventure just to find. She's another 2 years older and she's 3 more steps behind. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? Or does anybody even know she's going down today? Under the shadow of our steeple, with all the lost and lonely people searching for the hope that's tucked away in you and me. Does anybody hear her? Can anybody see? She is yearning for shelter and affection that she never found at home. She is searching for a hero to ride in, to ride in to save the day. And in walks her Prince Charming, and he knows just what to say. Momentary lapse of reason, and she gives herself away. Lofty glances from lofty people. You can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even met her. If judgment looms under every steeple, if lofty glances from lofty people, you can't see past her scarlet letter, and we've never even.
Well, Welcome back, everyone. I hope all of you are enjoying the marathon of songs today by Casting Crowns. Do any of you out there in the listening audience wake up some mornings feeling 2 years older and three steps further behind? I know I do sometimes. I'm sure there are some of you that can relate to that as well. If you are just tuning in to today's message and have missed the first part of my show, I want to thank you for joining me and thank you to all of you who have already been listening too. After the show is aired, my wonderful husband Shaziz will be uploading the podcast to my podcast page on www.shazizradio.com, so you can go back and listen to the whole message if you like, or you can pass the message on to a friend. Today's message has been about New Year's resolutions. We have discussed such things as what are the most common resolutions, why we make them, why they succeed or fail, what we should or should not do to help with their success, and so on and so forth. The biggest thing we have been talking about today is finding that one thing in your life that you have been putting off doing and making this the year that you're going to stop procrastinating and do that one thing that should have been taken care of a long time ago. Maybe your one thing is a project that you started and never finished. What's been holding you back? Maybe life has got too busy. Maybe you ran into obstacles or ran out of resources to finish your project. Maybe you have naysayers that keep telling you it can't be done, or that you're a fool for trying, or that it won't work. Stop listening to them. If you believe in what you are doing, that is all that matters. If you believe in what you are doing, then it shall be done. Knock, ask, believe, and you shall receive. Pick that project back up again and spend this year completing it. Don't put it down until you see the desired results. Maybe your one thing is furthering your career or going back to school, but it just never seems to be the right time. Folks, there is never going to be a right time. You just have to make the time, and God willing, He will do the rest. Maybe your one thing is mending a failing relationship. Maybe you have put it off thinking it'll get better, or pretending it's not happening, or maybe you're waiting on someone else to make that first move. Maybe you just don't even know where to start. Folks, the longer you wait, the harder it is going to be and the farther away the opportunity will get to fix it. Maybe your one thing is a problem with overspending, overdrinking, stretching yourself with too many obligations and not knowing how to say no sometimes. Maybe your one thing is your life is a cluttered mess of chaos. You can't see the trees for the forest. Your life feels too overwhelming and it's cutting off your air supply. Perhaps there's other things in your life that you've been putting off that need your immediate attention. I don't know what that one thing is for you, but you do. So today, I'm challenging you to think of that one thing in your life, and don't wait another second to make that resolution for 2014. It's okay to want to stop smoking or lose weight, but I'm sure there are things more profound in your life that need your attention more than the superficial things. I don't want to suggest that quitting smoking and losing weight aren't good resolutions too, because they are. Anything that improves your health is always a good thing. But think outside the box this year. Think beyond all that and look deep inside yourself. What did you come up with? Remember, your success is based on your mindset. You may have to rewire your brain, retrain yourself, and also remember that not all circumstances can be changed, but that you can still change the outcome of how you will respond to those circumstances. Maybe it's not the circumstances that need to change, but your mindset about the circumstances. Remember, when you set resolutions for yourself, to make them realistic. Set a time or a date of completion. If that isn't possible, then vow to keep track of your progress and take note of any and all progress and keep moving forward. Don't ever quit. Reward yourself even with the tiny successes. Vow to work on one thing at a time. Don't try to make too many changes at one time. Don't try to do several resolutions at the same time. You won't be able to keep up. Remember, one thing at a time. Once you've completed one thing, go on to the next. You will get discouraged and burn out, and you will fail if you try to do too many things all at once. In fact, you'll set yourself up for failure before you even get started. Stay focused on that one thing. Stay positive. Focus on the here and now. Find an accountability buddy, someone to keep you on course. Don't wait until the last minute to try to start something. Focus on new behaviors. Remember to take tiny steps. Perhaps you could keep a journal or mark your calendar, and then 1 month, 6 months, a year later, you can look back and you can really see how far you have come and rejoice in your success. Remember, persistence is a vital thing to victory. We must know what we know. Hold on a second, let me say that again. We must know what we know and know that what we know is true. Stand on the solid rock. I have thought long and hard about what my New Year's resolution will be this year, or if I even wanted to be bothered with it at all. Most of the time, I fall into that 38% of people who don't make New Year's resolutions. But this year, I have much I want to get done. I'm excited about 2014. I'm looking forward to making some changes in my life, and I'm just as eagerly looking forward to reaching 2015, looking back, and seeing just how far God has brought me. I am so excited about that. And you should be too. You should be excited about what 2014 holds for you and your loved ones. Now I know one of the biggest ways to fail is to try to do too much at one time. But the New Year's resolutions that I have made all kind of fall in together. My first resolution is, I've decided that I'm going to start each day off with spending time with God. I don't care if I have to get up earlier or put something off until mid-morning. God is going to come first every morning this year. My second resolution is to read through the entire Bible again this year. So while I'm spending time with God, I can also do some extra reading. My third resolution is to start walking again and lose some of the extra pounds this winter has put on me. So recently I purchased a treadmill and I put it in my living room. Now I have absolutely no excuse whatsoever for not walking. I can walk at my convenience. I can walk and spend time with my family. I can walk and spend time with God watching the Daystar channel on television, which, by the way, on DirecTV is channel 369. I can even drink my morning cup of coffee. Or if I'm feeling really talented and coordinated, I can drink my coffee, read my Bible studies, and walk all at the same time. Did I mention I'm an excellent multitasker? But you see how all of my resolutions have been carefully thought out to intermingle successfully with one another. I have also vowed to keep check on my successes by keeping a journal or writing on my calendar. I've also vowed that I will make more time to be of service in church this year and in the other volunteer work that I am currently doing. I have vowed to spend more time doing things with my husband and finding ways to better our marriage. Yet that, I'll have to give some careful thought to, because it's already great, just the way it is. But as with all relationships, you have to nurture and care for them daily and add some spice and variety to keep them great. So that will be another challenge for me this year. My husband and I are retired, but if you have ever heard people tell you that they are busier now than when they were working, and you thought they were crazy for saying that, we are here to tell you that that is oh so very true. My husband and I have big hopes, dreams, and plans for Shaziz Radio, YouTube, our radio shows for the upcoming year. And God willing, we will achieve our goals. And when I look back from January 1st of 2015 back to the year of 2014, I will be astonished and amazed and in awe of how far our Heavenly Father has brought us, has brought me. Yesterday is gone, Today is all we have in this moment. But tomorrow, if God sees fit to awake us, is a new dawning. We can't change what has happened in the past, but we can start over each and every day with a clean, fresh start to a better future. Live for today. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Learn from the past 12 months of mistakes and don't repeat them in 2014. If there is someone in your life that needs forgiveness, vow to do it now. If you need forgiving, vow to find the person you wronged and ask for their forgiveness. Own up to the mistake. Are we perfect? No. And neither is anyone else. Think about all the grace and the mercy that we are given each day. Think about the number of times we fail every day. Here are some words of advice that I want to share with you. Get out of debt this year. Sound impossible? Maybe. Do you really, really, really need that new car you just bought? Do you really need that 5-bedroom, 3-car garage? Do you really need that gigantic pontoon boat or that $500,000 motor coach? Do your kids really need to be in every single activity that they are in? I could go on and on, folks. The answer to all these questions is no. We really don't need all this expensive, extravagant things to make us happy. How are you paying for all that? I bet you're working your fingers to the bone, working and driving your body beyond its limits every day to make the payments on this lifestyle. How many years is it going to take to pay off all this debt? How old will you be when you finally own it free and clear? And will you put yourself further into debt by trading up every few years, never seeing any of these things paid off? If you can relate to what I just said, ask yourself, is it worth it? Do you have any peace or joy in your life? Do you ever get to just get away and enjoy these things? Or are you too busy paying for them? Only you know that answer. Learn not to manipulate your finances. What I mean by this is when you give money to help someone, don't manipulate the situation where in the long run you're going to get it back. An example of this would be, you give the person on the street in need the shirt off your back, and then you go to the local thrift store and you ask for another one to replace the one you just gave away. And I'm going to go out on a limb on this next one, this next example. I'm going to say right now that I do not wish to offend anyone by what I'm about to say. But I'm going to go out on a limb here because this is my belief, my personal belief. Not everyone agrees with this, and that's okay. You don't have to. I'm just saying, speaking for myself, this is my belief. Tithing is another thing that I think should be given freely without anything in return. So it bothers me a great deal when I see someone tithing, yet planning to take it off their taxes at the end of the year. I know I'm really going out on a limb for saying that, but that is one of my personal pet peeves. When you give, give with a generous heart and expect nothing in return. You will receive your blessings tenfold in so many other ways. I think also that people need to slow down and wait on God's timing. We are living in a time when everyone wants instant gratification. Some things we're not meant to have. Some things we are. But it's simply not the right time. And some things are readily available now. But whether you are a believer or a non-believer, timing is everything. Always. Always, always, always. Timing is everything. I want to share a special recipe with each and every one of you before I wrap up today's message and let Shaziz have any final words. So here it is. is called A Recipe for a Happy New Year. Take 12 fine, full-grown months. See that these are thoroughly free from old memories of bitterness, rancor, and hate. Cleanse them completely from every clinging spite. Pick of all specks of pettiness and littleness. In short, see that these months are free from all the past. Have them fresh and clean, as when they came from the great storehouse of time. Cut these months into 30 or 31 equal parts. Do not attempt to make up the whole batch at one time. So many people spoil the entire lot this way. But prepare one day at a time. Into each day, put equal parts of faith, patience, courage, work. Some people omit this ingredient and spoil the flavor of the rest. Hope, fidelity, kindness, rest. Leaving this out is like leaving the oil out of your salad dressing. Don't do it. Prayer, meditation, and one well-selected intention. Put in about 1 teaspoon of good spirits, a dash of fun, a pinch of folly, a sprinkling of play, and a heaping cupful of good humor. When I read this, I knew I had to share it with my listening audience. There is so much wisdom in this poem. If you were to make your own recipe for 2014, what would it look like? What creative ingredients would you use? I believe if we took the time to be creative in what we desire our new year to look like, it would be very worthwhile and beneficial to each of us. So at this time, I will leave you with that thought. And I challenge you to create your own recipe for 2014. I challenge you to find your one thing and build it, fix it, move forward, leave it behind, or deal with it. So in this last few minutes, I want to ask my husband Shaziz here to join me and for any parting thoughts.
You know, we always talk about thinking outside the box here on Shaziz Radio and Awake Radio, No Borders and We Roar and all the other networks. And as I'm listening to Beverly's show today, I got to thinking about superheroes, you know. Superman, there's a big example that of something to be learned there, you know. Even Superman has flaws, you know. If you look back in the old videos about Superman and all the superheroes that followed him, Superman sees something going on, and so he jumps up into the phone booth. He pops back out of the phone booth, and he's in his superhero suit. But something that I noticed, because I do think outside the box, is wait a second, old Superman's got his shorts on the outside of his superhero suit. So even Superman's got flaws. So even in your daily lives, and you think you have to be Superman, at least when you step outside the box, make sure you got your pants on the inside of your superhero suit. Anyway, I just hope that with that little example, that you just realize that you don't have to be, you know, superhero. You're going to make mistakes. Even Superman did. But thinking outside the box gives you that extra perspective that you need to realize that not everything is perfect. Not even Superman. Or Batman. He wore his shorts on the outside, too.
Well, thank you for that really profound thought, Shaziz. Good to know.
Robin wore his shorts on the outside, too.
Good to know.
It's a fashion statement.
As Shaziz was talking on the break earlier, wearing your tidy whities on the outside. Wow, we have some crazy conversations here when the show is playing music.
Well, thinking out of box gives you a whole new perspective on life. You notice those things.
But folks, like I said during my show, take it to heart, you know. If you want to lose weight or quit smoking or whatever it is that you want to do, great. By all means, do it. But think outside the box this year. You know, think about what's something profound and significant in your life that you could commit to for 1 year. You know, that you could fix, build, you know, leave behind. Whatever that one thing is, I encourage you to find it this year. And so, until next Saturday, same time, same place, God bless each and every one of you until we meet again.
Jump out of the box with your tidy whities on the outside of your superhero suit.
I love you guys, and I love my silly husband in the background. So with that said, I'm going to play this song up out of here today. See you next week.
Did you just put the woodpecker song?
I did. That's the wrong song, folks. See? I'm not perfect.
Hold on. Let me help you out here. Do-do-do-do-do. Yeah, we were just getting ready to play a not-so-good tune. All right. Here, let's try this one.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing Your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're slow to anger. Your name is great, and Your heart is kind. For all Your goodness, I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. I worship Your holy name. Bless You, Lord. Strength is failing, the end draws near, and my time has come. Still my soul will sing Your praise unending. 10,000 years and then His holy name.
secure.